Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Olivet. A special welcome to our guests and visitors. If you are a visitor and are interested in church membership, I would encourage you to consider Olivet. And if you'd like some more information, you can talk to one of the pastors or stop by the church office, and they have all sorts of good stuff for you. Also, welcome to those who are listening to us on the radio this morning. That's an important ministry here at Olivet, and we thank those who are supporting the radio ministry. You notice it looks a little different up here this morning. First of all, the pastors are not wearing alls. We decided that if we're going to try to negotiate all of this, that a little less cumbersome attire would be a good idea. I would knock something over if I had that on. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, our Sunday school children are presenting the Christmas program, which is why it looks like this morning. It's at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We would encourage you to come and support these young people as they tell us the story of Christmas. Mop's bake sale going on out in the narthex. You probably noticed that as you came in this morning. And you have a couple of inserts in your bulletin this morning. One of them I'd like to call your attention to is the volunteer opportunities. There are lots of things going on this coming weekend. It is, of course, Christmas, and we need lots of help. So if you'd like to volunteer, you can fill this out, turn it into the church office. And then the other insert is the Christmas Eve dinner. And Pat Odegaard is going to come and talk some more about that.
Good morning. We're less than a week away from this amazing event that happens every Christmas Eve here at Olivet. I don't really have a story for you this week. I'm running a little low on material. You know, I was hoping to tie a Bison victory into things, but that didn't really work out for me. So, I really want to thank everybody who has donated items and their time up to this point. We still have a few things. If you look at your sheet here, we could still use some big prizes in cash and a smattering of food items. As far as volunteer, our biggest need right now is transportation, and that's really vehicles and people to drive them to get people here. There's some people don't have another way to get here. So if you have any interest in that, please stop by in the narthex after the service, and we can chat about that. We also need some help in the office answering phones, that kind of thing, in the morning and the early afternoon. And there are just a few spots in the kitchen and the dining room. So, again, thanks for all your help up to this point, and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Pat. And thank you to all of those who are organizing this important event. You'll notice that in the front of your bulletin you have a list of the services that are coming up this week, four services on Christmas Eve, and then please notice that next Sunday, Christmas Day, just one service, it's at 10 o'clock. And there is no worship service this coming Wednesday. Now, learning and sharing is going to go on between services this morning. And, of course, you're going to have a sing-along, a carol sing-along. But we're also going to say thank you. Thank you to Joyce Flagg. Joyce has been taking care of all of our communications in terms of sending out bulletins, your newsletters, all of these letters that come out to you. Joyce is responsible for all of that. And I tell you, it is a full-time job. And she's been doing this incredibly well for many years. And there she is, right there. So today, because Joyce has found an opportunity for another position with less hours, which will give her time to spend with her grandchildren and her mother, and those are pretty important things, we're going to lose Joyce, and we are really sad about that. But we're happy that she's found this new position and that she's able to spend more time with her family. And so we're going to say thank you to her between services. And you saw the cake up there. If you come, you might get a little piece of that cake. But please come and say thank you to Joyce. Joyce, are you here this morning? Where is Joyce? There she is, way back there. We may find three or four people to do her job, but we can never replace Joyce. Thank you, Joyce. Why don't you stand up and greet those that you're worshiping with this morning? We turn now to the order for confession and forgiveness, and no, we don't. Please be seated as our choir leads us in a call to worship. Beautiful call to worship. Now we turn to the order for confession and forgiveness. Would you please stand as you read? Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, who comes to wake us from sleep, who leads us into the light of grace.
Amen.
Let us prepare the way of the Lord by confessing our sin against God and neighbor, and I invite you to kneel. God of all time, we confess that we have not prepared for your merciful reign among us. We ignore our neighbors in need and fail in the labor of justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your light and to seek the things that will endure until Christ comes again in glory. Amen. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, and all things are made new. Rejoice in the good news. As we stand, we join together in our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel.
Beloved of God, who are called to be saints, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
We praise you, O God, for this Advent wreath that marks our days of preparation for Christ's coming. As we light the fourth candle on this wreath, rouse us from sleep that we may be ready to greet our Lord when he comes with all the saints and angels. Enlighten us with your grace and prepare our hearts to welcome him with joy.
Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may receive your promises. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And please be seated.
I would invite you to please turn to page 554 in the Pew Bible. An Israelite and Armenian military coalition presented a serious threat to King Ahaz of Judah. In response, Ahaz decided to secure his throne and kingdom by seeking refuge in Assyrian help. Isaiah reminds Ahaz that human attempts to establish security will fail. The prophet gives the sign of Emmanuel that is the only source of true safety. God is with us. The lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Here ends the lesson. Please turn to your bulletins and read Psalm 80 responsively with me. We will begin with verse 1. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, in the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come to help us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will your anger fume when your people pray? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink. You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one you have made so strong for yourself. And so we will never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Please turn to page 913 in your pew Bible and find Romans chapter 1. Most of the Christians in Rome do not know Paul. In this letter's opening, he introduces himself as an apostle divinely appointed to spread God's gospel. The gospel's content is the promised coming of Christ, and Paul's mission is to bring about the obedience of faith among all nations, including his Roman audience. The second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the lesson.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Find this on page 783 in your pew Bible. Matthew's story of Jesus' birth focuses on the role of Joseph, who adopts the divinely begotten child into the family of David and obediently gives him the name Jesus, which means God saves. From Matthew 1. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may all of the grace and peace and hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you today. Amen. The greatest story of the Christmas spirit is Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, right? We know that. My favorite rendition of A Christmas Carol, The Muppets' Christmas Carol. I love the storytelling, and they do a great job. For instance, that character in A Christmas Carol of Jacob Marley now becomes two characters presented here, Jacob and Robert Marley. All right? Call him Bob. But at the end of their song and dance announcement of the three ghosts to come, right, they burst into this warning to Scrooge, change. And of course, at that moment, old Scrooge doesn't view this as good news. So now, today, here we are. Advent is closing. A few short days, we celebrate that silent and holy night. We'll hear, God is with us. That's the essence of the story we hear today from both Isaiah and in Matthew. God with us, here, now, forever, always, in all things. Good news? Bad news? A little bit of both? Depends on our perspective, of course. Our life situation, our experience determines how we hear this tale and that news. We can see God is filled with only vengeance, wrath, condemnation, judgment. God with us? Yeah. No, bad news. No thanks. We could also see God full of love, grace, forgiveness, healing, community. Good news. Depends on our situation. When we're in the muck and in the mire of our wayward and broken lives, maybe we'd rather have God at arm's length. Really. Stay out of our business. And we would be in good company, of course. Remember how Jonah tried to run away from God when God called? How about Adam and Eve attempting to hide in Eden? After they messed it all up. Really? You're going to hide from God? It's not good news if we do not want to be confronted with our sin and brokenness. It's not good news if we don't wish to face consequences, if we have no desire to hear hard truths, even if they're spoken in love. God is with us. We hear it as good news when we're grabbed by grace, when we experience a restored life, when we're set on this path to love and serve each other. Good good news, bad news. I think we can learn from each perspective, both for our own sake and for the good of the entire community. Where are you at in your journey today? See, we hear from Matthew's nativity story. As he gives it to us, we have messages delivered to Joseph. He learns of Mary's pregnancy. He wants to be obedient to the law. He's going to dismiss her, but to do it quietly. A public disgrace, he knows, could lead to her death. So instead, he chooses mercy over righteousness. And that angelic message comes, declares the truth of their condition together, and this new word, he understands, supersedes the old. Mercy over righteousness. To think of what that does for his relationship with God, for his relationship with Mary, with his relationship with the whole community. Now healed, restored. He hears that the child to come will save us from our sins. I think we could probably say as well, maybe he saves us from ourselves. God is with us. What does that mean to you today as you journey this faith and life? Something happened in our country about 6 weeks ago, early November. I think it's going to change the world, for good or for bad. Might even be, what happened in early November might be a sign of the end times. It might even usher in the apocalypse. I'm not talking about the election. It's that the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. First time in 108 years. Hallelujah. Miracles happen. The unexpected can occur. I talked the other day with a lifelong Cubs fan, third generation lifelong Cubs fan. The day after the Cubs won, he drove 2.5 hours each way to put a Cubs pennant on his grandfather's grave. See what that did for Chicago? What it did for their whole community? It united them. It brought light into their community. Now I wonder if we, the church, could have that same kind of exuberance for sharing faith and love. Wonder. Because of this promise that God is with us, can we as a community be a sign to the world? A sign of the very reign of God? We as a congregation, we've got a big year ahead of us. We leave a very big year behind. But we go together in the promise that God is with us because God remains faithful. God leads us into divine mission to love, to save, to serve. We as a community here, we share grace and love. We share good fellowship. We care for each other. We share the service that we offer to those in need. Here, this community, to the ends of the earth. It's our calling. Our calling because God is with us. Because we respond to this salvation from sins. Our calling is to bring light and good news to a weary world. As Mary bears that Christ child? We too are the bearers of love and good news to the world. Can we as a community deliver? Take this into consideration. For all of the people of the United States who are not connected with the church, half of them say that they would come to worship on Christmas Eve if only someone invited them. Half of them would. What if every one of us invited 10 people? It's not enough, of course. I mean, I understand that. But at the same time, it's a great start. If we invite them, they come, we follow through, and then we walk with them. Walking with someone through faith is a privilege and a joy. So invite someone. And then commit to walk together in wonder about faith and life and service and living in a community. God is with us. Do you see it as good news or bad news or somewhere in between? Today, wherever you find yourself and what that means, it can be good news for us and for the world. Now we wrap up Advent. We put a bow around it and we wait to celebrate a miracle. And I came across this extremely provocative Advent image this week. For those of you listening on the radio, it's an image of Eve, the forbidden fruit clutched to her chest, the serpent wrapped around her heel, and the Virgin Mary holding Eve's other hand tightly to her very pregnant womb. All that is wrong. Back to our very first parents in that initial transgression, all is to be made whole again. The child to come, God with us, Emmanuel, will save the people from their sins. All that is broken from our rebellion in Eden is taken into this child, born of Mary at Bethlehem. God is with us, you know. Even when it seems like bad news, deep down, we know the news to be good. Because miracles happen, the unexpected occurs, the unlikeliest of events comes down upon us. Sins are forgiven. Mercy overrides judgment. Broken relationships are restored. And that is news that's good enough to share. Amen.
I would ask us to rise together. And let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to please be seated.
On the back page of your announcement sheet, you'll find the names of our fourth grade students. And today we offer a special blessing for them. A little over a month ago, we met with these fourth graders and their parents and talked about what it is to read the Bible devotionally. And for the last month, they've been reading through the entire gospel according to St. Mark and working on a devotion every single day through that time. I would encourage all of us to find a way to get into those kind of daily devotions that lead us and help us wonder about what God is up to in our lives. And so as we offer this blessing for our fourth graders, if there are fourth graders here at this service, would you please stand, because we want to let you know how much we love you. There's a few around.
I would invite us all to stand once again as we join those fourth graders in giving thanks to God for the fullness of Christ's presence. We join the church, the world, and pray for all those in need. Holy and gracious God, thank you for being with us in all things and at all times. Heal, restore, and inspire our witness. They all may know your love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for plants and animals, sea and skies, snow and rain, and all of God's marvels. That all of creation grow and thrive as we bless, protect, and use with care what God has made for us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for nations and those in authority, for peace and justice throughout the whole world, and for those who advocate on behalf of others, that in all leadership positions, they would choose what is good for their community. We especially lift up Aleppo. We pray for all involved at Standing Rock. We pray for the homeless and those who are hurting, and for all who serve in the military, especially those separated from their families, that we would reach out with your love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Gracious God, we thank you for Joyce Flagg and her amazing work here at Olivet. May you bless her as she begins a new chapter in life. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We also give you thanks for the adoption of Mara and Quinn as they join the Jaisted Spar family. We give you thanks for our fourth graders as they deepen their faith. And we lift up the Christmas Eve dinner, that you would work through us to reach out to the FM community. For there are some who otherwise would have no place to go at Christmas. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for the thirsty, the hungry, the weak and the fearful, those who mourn and the sick. Be with Dane Poppy, Daryl Engel, Billy Humrick, Kellen, Jonah, Chuck Carney, Sandy Consemius, Bill Polish, and those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people, those spoken aloud and those known only to you, and grant us peace through Jesus Christ, our coming Savior. Amen. Please be seated as our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering, and special thank you to the Cherub Choir for sharing an offering of music. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your love and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and amen. You may please be seated as our ushers will help direct us. At Olivet, we practice an open table. Please know that all are welcome. Mm-hmm. Let us rise together as we're able. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in his grace both now and unto eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lift up your hearts and receive the blessing. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and scatter the darkness before your path. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you, now and forever. Amen. Now go in peace and prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God.